Well, we had Anna's baptism a few minutes ago, and I have a question about it. In fact, this little talk is a series of questions. Here's the question. What was the most important part of the baptism for the future of Anna and her family? Which bit mattered most going forward? I think some might say it's the certificate or the photos to help you remember it in the future. Some might say the prayers for God to bring blessing in the future. Some might say the sign of the cross or the water, which helped us understand its meaning. And some might say the most important bit hasn't happened yet. It's always the food. But I propose that there's something even more important. That's the promises. The promises made by parents and godparents. The promises are the guts of the ceremony, and if the promises are made and kept, that makes all the difference for the future of the child. It's like a wedding. What's the most important thing in a wedding? Well, people might have all sorts of views, but making and keeping the vows is what really matters for the future of the marriage. It's the same for a baptism. The promises matter most. Here's another question. What were the first promises made by the parents and godparents today? Short-term memory is my problem as well. The first promises made by the parents and godparents today were promises about coming to church, which may be a surprise to some. One of the things people say to me in the street is, and they say it amazingly often, is you don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Which sounds plausible to start with. Technically, it's true. For example, Christians imprisoned for their faith can't get to church, and yet they're still Christians. But this saying doesn't stand serious scrutiny. It's like saying you don't need to be in a team to be a footballer. Well, we might like to think we're a footballer if we kick around in the garden or play FIFA on the Xbox or whatever. But really, we'd be kidding ourselves. Because to be a footballer, we need to be in a team. And actually, to play in a team, and I found this out as a parent, if you want to play in a team, then you need to be there and available every weekend. And you need to be there every practice, which was on a weekday night as well, in order to be a footballer. Now Jesus says, love one another, serve one another. He calls his people to gather together. And we need to get to church to grow as a Christian. Sunday congregation and midweek small group as well, if we want to grow. And that is what's first in the baptism promises. You might be responding with another question. Maybe a question along these lines. Surely going to church isn't what it's all about. And you're right. Going to church is not what it's all about. That's only the first set of promises. Because as well as promising frequent church going, the parents and godparents also stood to speak of their commitment to Jesus Christ above all others. And their belief in God as he's revealed himself. One God who is so big he's been received as three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So going to church is needed to help a child see what being a Christian is. And parents and godparents who are devoted to Jesus, and parents and godparents who have a clear belief in God as he's revealed himself through Jesus Christ, as shown in the Bible. All of that does make a Christian. All of that gives a child a good chance to see what Christianity is really about. Now, there might be another question forming in some of our minds along these lines, because I hear this one quite often too. You might think that sounds like indoctrination. Isn't it better to just let a child choose for themselves? And this sort of question needs unpacking. Indoctrination is a very loaded word. For instance, is buying your child a Man City shirt and taking them to cheer on City at Eastlands indoctrination? Blues probably think it isn't. Reds probably think it is. But it's not really, is it? In order to show a child what supporting a football club is about, you need to take them and get them into it. Otherwise, they're not going to know what it's all about. I tried it with my son. We went to a couple of Swindon Town games. Maybe it was a type of indoctrination, but it didn't work very well. By the time he'd grown into the shirt, he was following another football team. Well, living your life for Jesus Christ and taking your child to church is not indoctrination in any sinister way. It's how we find out about the life which Jesus offers. It's how we discover what it is to be saved by Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection. It's how we discover the difference that this makes in someone's life. It's how we learn what it says in the Bible and what it doesn't say. And I think, being fair and honest, church is the only place you find these things. School won't get you very far these days, more likely to confuse you. The media only seem to mention Christianity if a priest is convicted, a disagreement has happened in the church, or some statistics of decline have been published. The internet may have some good stuff in there somewhere, but it'll be buried in so much bad stuff, unsubstantiated bad stuff, that we probably won't be helped. The only reliable place to learn what it is to be a lively, faithful, biblical Christian is, i.e. a Christian, is in a lively, faithful church. And being in a church, the other thing that matters is real relationships, not virtual relationships. Real human relationships matter in the bringing up of our children in all sorts of ways. It's not indoctrination. No one's forced to believe. In fact, you can't force anyone to believe into Christian belief anyway. It's not how it works. And in church, things are explained reasonably. In small groups, everyone can ask whatever questions they want or say their views. It's not indoctrination. Just coming to church, which is the best place to learn what it is to be a Christian. And that's what Elizabeth and Peter have promised for Anna today, because they want the very best for her. Parents do want the best for their children. And so when you know something that's good, you want to pass it on. And that's what they want to do. I learnt this lesson again the other day when I went to visit somebody. It was a follow-up visit from a funeral. And it was actually a year or two since the funeral, but I'd seen the widower, the chap, a couple of times around the town, and I said, I am coming to see you. So I finally got there, went to see him, and I wanted to have a chat and tell him about Jesus and the things that mattered to me. But I couldn't get in there because he was so full of what he wanted to tell me. And he had found this thing that was so good that he just wanted everyone to know. And so he sat me down and he taught me through it. He'd found a deal with another energy firm, which would be the answer to my problems, because I live in a big cold house. And he was right. And that's how it is in life. We want to tell people the things that are most important, the things that have made a difference for us. And I wanted to tell him about Jesus Christ and the way in which he turns our life around in a better direction and for the best. And that's what Peter and Elizabeth want for Anna and Beatrice. And so that's why they have brought her for baptism and want to follow up on those promises so that she can know what it's all about. So that at some stage in the future, when she's taking big decisions about life for herself, that is one of the options she can choose. She knows what it's about. She wouldn't otherwise. And so she'll be in a position to decide for herself whether to commit her life to Jesus Christ or not. I think students decide some of their future subjects about the age of 14 or 15. They decide whether to continue in school around about the age of 16 or 17. They often fly the nest at 18 or 19. That's also about the age when we'll see whether Anna wants to be confirmed and make these promises to Jesus for herself. Until then, she'll do what her family do. Come to church each week and express their faith to Jesus Christ at home. It's what families do. Not just families. Maybe you as well. Anyone who wants to know what Christianity is about. Anyone who wants to know how Jesus says to love God and love our neighbor. Anyone who wants to learn what the Bible says. Hear God's voice as it's read and straightforwardly explained. Come to church for the duration. It's the only way, is it not? Getting involved in your local church each week and teaching the faith at home each day. It's nothing sinister. It's sensible. It's natural. It's wholesome. It's helpful. It's not indoctrination. It's what good people have been doing for centuries. And that's why we heard it in our Bible readings, which I want to finish with. Hear, my people, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Keep these words that I'm commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. That's what the Lord charged Moses to say to his people as they were about to enter the promised land. And then Timothy, the young man who was called to lead a church in Ephesus, was encouraged in these ways by Paul. These are the things you must insist on and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I arrive, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhorting, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift that's in you, which was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of hands by the council of elders, but put these things into practice. Devote yourself to them so that all may see your progress, and pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this you'll save both yourself and your hearers. Important things. And if you have any questions on these things or other things to do with the Christian faith, we'd be glad to help. Have a word with me afterwards. There's an Alpha course that's started recently and a Christianity Explained course which will start soon. Do you want to be part of something where you can seek, find out, so that you can make up your own mind on the basis of knowing what it's about? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you have shown us yourself and that you have spoken your word so that we can know you and hear you and respond. Please help us. And Lord, thank you that you've shown this to Peter and Elizabeth, and thank you for their response and their commitment to bringing Beatrice and Anna up in the faith that you have given them. Please encourage them and strengthen them as they seek to fulfill the promises made today through Jesus. Amen.